This is an in-between-isode of the All Things Risk podcast on why modern offices suck and what we can do about them. Welcome back to the All Things Risk podcast. This is an in-between-isode. I am Ben Cattaneo, your host. All right, before I lose all of you as listeners, let me explain. I recorded that bit sitting down. I obviously sounded that way deliberately, and I did so to tee up this in-between-isode. You see, over the past 3 years of editing this podcast, I began to notice something about my own voice, and that was whenever I was sitting down, I always sounded less energetic than when I was speaking standing up. Now, whenever I record something, I'm always very conscious of my physical position, and I try to adjust my voice accordingly. I have a sit-down stand-up desk at home. That's where I record my intros and outros, and I can easily spot the difference when I'm sat down. So I make adjustments. Now, if you've ever done any acting, you won't be at all surprised by any of this. You will know that our physical disposition affects how we sound, and actually it also affects how we think, and in fact, it affects how productive we are. Just think about how ideas come flooding in when you go for a walk as opposed to when you're sitting at a desk. And I and many of the guests I've had on the show have said on several episodes that mind and body are part of the same system, especially and including when making decisions under uncertainty. And that goes for in our workplaces. And yet, one of the parts of our world that doesn't seem to understand this at all are organizations that have offices. Unfortunately, that's just about all organizations in the world. Offices, for the most part, suck. Open plan offices in particular suck the most. There's a study, which I'll put in the show notes, that confirms all of this, and that study shows that open plan offices have really only one redeeming quality. They are cheap. And if the only or the main criteria for doing good work in that organization, in any organization, is cost, then an open plan office is perfect. If anything else is important, like quality or clear thinking, for example, then an open plan is terrible. They're loud. They are distracting. They're hardly conducive to doing great work, and they don't lead to greater collaboration. And the distractions are particularly bad. For example, I'll put another study in the show notes that shows that if you're focused on something and you get distracted, it can take 5 to 15 minutes to get back to where you were. And I know that many of you work in open plan offices, and I also know that it'll be some time before most organizations wake up to all of this. So I thought I'd share some thoughts on how to deal with trying to do great work in an open plan environment. And even if you don't work in an open plan environment, I hope that these tips are helpful. They are suggestions that are given in no particular order. There are things that I do. I work in an open plan office as part of my day job. They work for me. They certainly aren't a comprehensive list, but I thought that you might find them particularly helpful. So here we go. Number one, move around. And I'm not talking about popping out to the gym for an hour during the workday, although that's a great thing to do. I'm talking about incorporating movement in your working day. Where does a great idea come from? Where does a premise or a hypothesis come from? I find particularly that when I need to ponder a problem or to think creatively, that moving around is fantastic. And in particular, when making a decision, moving around is great as a way to think through the decision I'm about to make. And I actually walk around the floor on which I work several times a day. I'm not going any particular place in particular. I'm just polishing my thinking and sharpening my mental axe, or trying to have ideas percolate. And if you're able to get a stand-up, sit-down desk at your place of work, I highly recommend it because it serves the same purpose. It incorporates movement into your day. So that's number one, move around, incorporate movement. Number two, the Pomodoro technique. If you've not heard of this, it's a time management technique in which you focus deeply on one task, typically for 25 minutes, followed by a 5-minute break. I sometimes do 50 minutes with a 10-minute break, but not as extensively because I find that it can wear me out. And it's called the Pomodoro technique because it originated in the US, where they used to have these kitchen timers shaped like tomatoes, if you're in the UK. A Pomodoro is, of course, Italian for tomato. And I find this technique particularly useful if I add a couple of things. Number one is to shut off all email alerts, particularly the toast function in Microsoft Outlook, which is that thing that pops up when you get an email. That's incredibly distracting, as well as the alert that shows a little envelope on your taskbar below. Turn all of those off. Turn them off as a default all the time. Very helpful. The other thing is I put my phone away, and it's not the easiest thing to do, but studies have shown that even having the phone visible on the table can be incredibly distracting. So Pomodoro technique coupled by those two things, incredibly helpful. Number three, take short naps and or meditate. Now, this is really hard to do in a modern office, in spite of what we know about both of those things, that they revive us and, in the case of meditation, can calm us down. And I've lumped these two things together because, well, first of all, I know they're totally different. And in my ideal workplace, there'd be spaces dedicated for both, as well as spaces dedicated to do some light stretching or yoga. However, the vast majority of modern offices don't have that. And I've grouped them together because of this one thing, and that thing is toilets. So here's what I've done. You can pop into the restroom, go into the toilet stall, lock the door, put down the toilet seat, crucial step there, and take a short power nap or meditate. And I've sometimes done espresso naps in which I down an espresso and then do this thing, close my eyes for about 15 minutes, at which time the caffeine will start to kick in, and I find I feel quite refreshed after that. Nonetheless, you don't have to be that discreet, particularly when it comes to meditation. I'll throw another study in the show notes that talk about the benefits of calming breaths. They are enough to reduce stress levels. So have a go at that, some calming breaths to manage levels of stress, particularly in an open plan office. Number four, go outside. If you can get outside during the day, especially during the winter months, to get in a bit of natural light, it'll improve mood and energy levels. 20 minutes is great. I try to do this whenever I grab my lunch. Number five, plants. Proximity to plants has been shown to improve moods and increase wellness and reduce stress levels. And I'm not a particularly strong green thumb, so I just have a couple of cacti on my desk. You can also look at getting a terrarium, which is a self-contained plant ecosystem that looks great and is incredibly low maintenance. Finally, number six, headphones and music. No real surprise there. I'm sure you guys do this in one shape or form. Noise-canceling headphones are great if you've got them, and if not, a pair of earbuds will do. And I find that if I have something in my ears, I am interrupted less because people assume I'm busy, which I am. What you listen to is a matter of taste, of course, but Spotify has some great playlists for concentration, and some of my past guests have recommended lo-fi beats and binaural beats playlists. So wonderful things that you can do. That's it. Those are six things that I do to combat the terrible invention that is the modern open plan office. I hope these things help, but I'm sure you do some things that I haven't got on here, so I'd love to hear from you. What other ideas and things do you do to work more productively and to help you think something through, particularly when you're making a decision? That's it. But before we go, a quick reminder that we'd love to hear from you. Our listener survey is live and it's in the show notes. We want to make the show even better, so please take a couple of minutes to fill that in. Our next full episode goes out next week. Until then, and as always, don't forget, risk is life.